Sangha, today is the 6th of May 2010. We are in the still meditation hall in Upper Amlet during our spring retreat. We are learning the sutra on the net of love. Every time we look at the tree in our garden, in a forest, we have seen that that tree has many roots, very profound, and that is the reason the tree is very solid, stable, green, powerful, and a practitioner also is like that. We must have many roots, very deep in the Sangha. If no, one day if there is a storm, you are uprooted, you are broken. And sometimes you look like very stable, but it's very fragile. And so it look from outside is okay, but we have to be very careful, because when you think that you have balance and you think that it's okay, but you don't wait until the storm arrives. So you feel fine, balance, but try to get root in some of the, in the Sangha. So there are trees who look fine, but why during the storm one tree is broken and other not? And so the practitioner is like that too. You need, especially monastic practitioner, you live together with the Sangha, you learn, you have to train yourself to stick to the Sangha, to root in the Sangha. And we need that. This root is first we have deep in faith, trust. This faith is not from, sometimes they translate for belief, but the belief here is not on one spiritual God, only the Buddha. And if one day if you lose somebody, explain the Buddha in different way or God in different way, then you lose that trust. So you have to trust, to believe on something more solid. Because if you believe on one spiritual person like God, like Buddha, and one day somebody explained differently and you lose. So we must trust on something that you can verify, you can experience by your practice. First, we practice to believe on the three jewels. The first, we have to believe that if we practice correctly and we will enlarge our understanding and our love. So first, I wish that you have to believe that if you practice and you will enlarge your understanding and your love, your compassion. If you don't have that trust, that you will not open, you will not be more compassionate. If you cannot believe like that, don't try to practice. First, you need to have that belief that you must train yourself to enlarge your understanding, enlarge your compassion. This person is not very kind, but I trust that with the practice, I can enlarge my understanding to understand her or him better, to be more compassionate to her or him better. And so if you don't believe on that ability in you, it's not no need for you to practice. And this belief is not a superstition, a superstitious belief. Because that belief is the trust on you. You trust that you can enlarge your understanding. You can deepen your understanding, deepen your compassion. And so even that person is impossible for you to love. But you train, and you have to believe that one day you will be successful to accept her or him and be compassionate and live in harmony with him or with her. So that is the practice. So if you notice in the Sangha, there are those who can open themselves and try to understand more, to be more compassionate, they suffer less. Those who have difficulty to open and to understand more, and then that person suffer a lot. And we see that that ability to understand and that love is so small. When we see that there is a lot of violence, a lot of cruelty, because they don't understand, they cannot be compassionate, and then that is society. Our society nowadays becoming more narrow, and when we are narrow mind, we only judge, we only condemn, we don't try to open our understanding and our love, and we become more rigid, more violent, more abusive. So the belief, the correct belief is chanting. And in the Kalama Sutra, there is many young people and come and ask the Buddha. There is so many spiritual teachers, and they say that I am the best, you have to love me. And other teachers, they said so like that. And everyone claimed that they have the spiritual teacher, they have the truth, and we have to believe them. And I don't know who is the real good teacher, with the spiritual truth. And the Buddha said that don't believe to any things. Don't believe to anyone if that person is very well known and people appreciate, worldly appreciate by the world. But you don't need to believe on him. You have to listen. Don't believe on everything that even everyone accept that is the truth. It's not because the majority consider it as the truth, and then you believe. Don't believe on anything, even they belong to a traditions of the place where you live. But if you try to listen, to look deep, and to try to put into practice, and you see that it's great for you, it makes you more peaceful, more understanding. And if you put into practice what that person share, and then if it's, you feel that it can bring good thing to you, good thing to people around you, you believe on that. So that is a belief of the Buddha advice to all of us. Don't believe to anyone, to anything, even they claim that is very famous, the whole world believe on him. But if we believe and we put into practice some, and you see, the second thing that we have to believe. So second thing, we have to believe on the practice that you are putting into your way, and you see that is work. And like the first practice is listen deeply, and then if you open your mouth, it's only expressed in a very serene, loving way. And if you believe in that, because you are accepting, you have seen a number of I don't know how to put off, and And then I asked the food outside, but outside they also scream. So when we have been given the practice of walking meditation, and you put into practice, and it seems that if you walk, you release everything, you only dwell in the present moment, pay attention on the present moment, don't be carried away by all the thought of the past, of the future. And if it's work, you consider like that is a dharma for you, it means a practice for you. But somebody said that, oh, this practice is good, but if you put into practice, it doesn't work. So don't put it him. Or you say that in the Sangha, they propose you something, but it cannot work. You try to put into practice, it doesn't work. You have to find the dharma teacher, a big brother, in the big sister in the practice to ask, why everybody say that is good, but it doesn't work for me. And so you put into practice in the way that is really appropriate, you put to practice, and you consider it as your dharma. So you have to believe on the practice, and if you practice more, it's work for you, and that is your dharma. So we have to believe on the dharma. First the Buddha, it means the ability of understanding and of love in you. It means you trust on the Buddha in yourself. The second one is the dharma. Dharma is a practice that you try to work in you, and it bring you really a transformation. And then that's the second, the dharma. And when you believe on the Buddha, the ability of understanding and love in you, and the dharma is the practice that you put into practice, is work for you. And then the third one is you have to believe on the Sangha. It's a group of people who practice on the same way than you, and it's work, and it's transform him or her. And so if you see that they are really transforming, and you see, you trust that they practice well, and so you have to practice. So you have to believe on your Sangha. So that is a main condition for you to root in your practice as a monk, as a nun, or as a lay, solid practitioner. You have to have deep root on the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Buddha is the ability of understanding and of love, of growing in you. Dhamma is the practice who really help you to transform several cases. And then the Sangha is those who practice with you, who really support you. And so sometimes you lose your Sangha, and then you lose the Sangha, and slowly you lose Dhamma, and you lose Buddha in you. And so if you feel that you have trust in the Sangha, trust, believe on the Sangha, believe on the Dharma, believe in the Buddha, you will grow, and you certainly will grow, and you will be quite different after a few months, a few years of practice. And so don't think that you rely on the Sangha, but your practice will enrich the Sangha too. Because if you try to practice properly your Dharma, you have to practice properly to root in the Sangha, and then you give more quality to Sangha as a member of this Sangha. If the Sangha is not like you wish, they have many weaknesses, and so you try your best to do it. You first, you practice for you first. Don't come, you just enter into that Sangha, and then you criticize this one, you criticize other one, and then you will not be successful. First, you dwell in your Buddha, and then if you see some leaking point, you have to come to a elder brother in the practice, or elder sister in the practice. You ask why like that, how I can overcome that, etc. So, like, at least Sangha, in this Sangha, I only request you, when you start to make a step, go back 100% to yourself, body and mind, in the present moment. And every step is 100% with body and mind in you. And if you do your best, others will try their best, and slowly we have a growing Sangha. So don't ask other people. If you see that some big brother and big sister still carry away by conversation and not like that, you take care of yourself and you practice well, and then you remind even she or he is a big sister, a big brother, you can help the big brother and big sister to root in the Dharma, in the practice. So that is the first, is a din. It means faith on, believe on, trust on. I can translate, I don't know which one is. It means trust on the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, like I explained. The second one is nim. Nguyen, vow. Vow. If you have a vow, an aspiration, if you have that vow, that aspiration to go in that direction, you must have that deep vow, that deep aspiration to do something great, to transform yourself, to transform yourself, to transform people around you. And that deep vow must be very strong in you. If you will not root in your practice as a monk, a nun, or as a determined lay practitioner. So you have to live in the way that that vow, that aspiration is more and more solid. And that vow is the bodhicitta in you, the mind of love, the mind of understanding in you. You want to go in that direction of understanding and the direction of love. And you must have that great vow, wing. You have to have that deep, deep, deep vow. You must be determined. Must be determined to go in that direction. That aspiration. Aspiration is mean that you aspire in the far away. You aspire to be now and here, stable, solid, compassionate, understanding. And you are determined to transform that suffering in you. You have some difficulty in your society. You try to help. You try to help transform the suffering in you, the suffering in society. And that means wing, aspiration, vow. Without that source of great vow, you will not be root. So the second root is vow. His great aspiration is the bodhicitta in you, the mind of understanding and love in you. So if you have no such a root, the big storm also can uproot you and you will be broken. And the third root is Han. Han means action. It's Thai name. It's written like that. Han. Sometimes they say Han, sometimes they say Han. And so if you have that deep aspiration to do something like that, you will go into action. Because you aspire to do something. And the action is the fruit of your aspiration. There are those who work a lot. They are very busy. But they work a lot in order to cover the difficulty in her or in him. They work in order to forget their suffering. to forget what is. And if you think that more you work is good, that is not correct way. So if you are so busy, that is a kind of taking refuge in the work. But you do not really live, because you do not have the base as a deep vow. Now you have the like a great understanding, great love. It means belief on Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, action is based on when you cook, when you clean the house, when you do the gardening, you are doing that work from the two first one, from your deep vow to do something great, from your determination to believe on the Buddha in you, in the Dharma in you, in the Sangha. So you work like that. You work like that because you work in not in order to forget your suffering, but in order to express your deep aspiration to help, to serve. So your work must have root in the belief on the three jewel, on the deep vow, and on the action. And so that is three root who make you strong in the Sangha, on your practice. And if these three root are very deep in you, in the Sangha, in your practice, because they enter all, you cannot say that you have to do that first and then the second. No, we mentioned first, second, three. But three come together, enter all. This one is not the matter of survival. But we only want to survive. We try to keep the balance, but we are not root. We are not really root. So in order to be root, in order to be very powerful during the big storm, you need to have these three root. If you have some doubt, if you have no joy at all, it means the root in you are very weak. So we read again on the stanzas of the sutra so that we continue. When the mind goes in the direction of sensual love, the tree of sexual love springs up and quickly sprouts. But when the mind is dispersed by object of sensual love, it generates a violent fire in us. Those who look for sensual love are like the monkeys jumping from branch to branch in search of fruits. Sensual love inflicts us with suffering and ties us to worldly life. Worries and misfortune caused by sensual love develop day and night like an invasive grass with tangled roots. Blind by attachment, sooner or later we fall into sensual love. Anxiety mounts day by day, just as a drop by drop water fills a whole pond. The fourth one, in life there are many worries and sorrow, but there is no greater sorrow than brought by sensual love. Once we are able to let go of sensual love, we can be a proper. practitioner that can a practitioner release own worries? I repeat, only once able to let go the sensual love can a practitioner release own worries. This stance, this gatha, elaborate a little bit. We are afraid that this person would betray us. This person will forget, will abandon us. We have some wrong perception and we are jealous. We are desperate. And our worries. And it's brought many complications. If there are many worries and sorrow, the world suffer, and the suffering is a lot in the world. When we spoke about the worries and suffering, worries and sorrow. There is no greater sorrow than brought by sensual love. But many suffering is come a lot. But most of the suffering is caused by sensual love. If you objectively look at things, you will see that this world have a lot of suffering. But among the suffering, the sensual love caused a lot of suffering more than others. The fifth stance, if we want to be happy and joyful, then we must be determined to let go of attachment. Free from attachment, we are no longer caught in the circle of samsara, nor burdening by anxiety, nor restlessly searching for what is unwholesome. The absence of attachment will lead to true peace and joy. So the Chinese word for word. If we want to be peaceful, we have to let go your worries and anxiety. And attachment. If there is no attachment, how you can be so lot of worries and anxiety? So free from attachment, we are no longer caught in the circle of samsara, nor burdening by anxiety, nor restlessly searching for what is unwholesome. Without love attachment, without attachment, we are no longer caught in the circle of suffering, we will reach peace. In the Pali text, the equivalent stances, equivalent gathas have an image that I cannot find in the Chinese gatha. In the Pali Gatha, there is an image. Without attachment, without sensual love, you will have peace. In the Pali Gatha, there is an image of a lotus leaf. A lotus leaf, when there is a drop of water falling into the lotus leaf, is like the water cannot stick to the leaf. the water will become a jewel on the lotus leaf and will not impregnate. And then the lotus leaf is free from the water. Free from water, even a lot of rain drop on the lotus leaves, the lotus leaf do not be impregnated by water. And so is that in Pali text is that image of lotus leaf. But here in the Chinese text we don't see it. Only one's able to let go of sensual love can a practitioner release own worry. If we have been deeply caught in love, then on our deathbed, surrounded by relatives, we will see just how long the path of worries and suffering lies before us. The suffering caused by love often leads into risky situations and numerous disasters. I repeat again the English translation. If we have been deeply caught in love, then on our deathbed, surrounded by relatives, we will see just how long the path of worries and suffering lies before us. The love, the suffering caused by sensual love often leads to into risky situation and numerous disaster. In English, that sutra we put the net of love sutra. But this love, this word love, is not, is negative. But usually the love, there is a positive part and the negative part, but when we put like that, it looks like love is negative. So when we learn the five trainings in the revised mindfulness training, we see that all the five trainings are the training of love. The first training is training to love. The second is also to train to love. The third to train to love. The fourth to train to love. The fifth training to love. So love is not bad. Love have wholesome part and unwholesome part. So but when the five training is the meaning of love and the illimited love offered by the Buddha, Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, Upeksa is good, is a wholesome love. But here in this sutra is love, the net of love, that love is only see the negative part. And so in the five mindfulness training, we make it clear that love and sensual love is two different things. Love and sensual desire is two different things. You have to see the number 10. Gatha number 10. the mind of sensual love is like a stream of water flowing, following the flow of habit energy and pride. The mind of sensual love, I repeat, the mind of sensual love is like a stream of water following the flow of habit energy and pride. Our thoughts and perception become embellished by the color of sensual love, and we ourselves hide the truth and cannot see it. The other day we spoke about the mental formation called touch, contact, spots. The contact between the base, it means your eyes, and the object of your eye is the contact. Sparsha. And the when you are in contact, there is attention. Attention and manaskara. You start. You are in contact with that object of your eyes, or your ear, or your nose. And then you are more attentive to that. They call manaskara. Pa, it means you start to really feel impregnated of it. And then it arises a perception, it arrives a notion, an image of that, which is not the reality of that yet. And so we have that notion, that reality of that, you have that notion of that, that perception of that. And then you have, the volition. When you have that perception, and then you have, it means a thing deeper. So when your five sense organ, or your six, it means the mental, the six, is in touch with the object. And then you have contact, and then you have attention, and then you have perception, and then you thought something. And so when you have that contact and you have a perception, and the perception is not correct yet, it's only one part of the reality. But when you perceive like that, usually our tendency is we believe that is the truth. The wrong point in each of us is you take the perception as the truth. But sometimes when your perception is you say that you have a lovely perception about that person, or that things, and then you have that volition. You really want to go ahead in that direction. And you want to go long in that direction. The number 10, the mind of sensual love that's a Chinese one. Not this kind of Vietnamese, I do not translate yet. Yeah. So the so sentence of the Gatha and the fourth sentence of the Gatha express like that. The is thinking in the normal, modern modern Chinese, but we have to understand of the classical meanings in the past. We cannot translate by thoughts. We cannot translate by thoughts. But so you have to turn, you have to translate by perception. Because in that word, turn, there is upper part is the appearance, and the lower part is your heart, your mind. Your mind catch the appearance. And because your mind catch the appearance, you cannot catch the whole reality. You only can catch one part of reality. And you believe that that is the total reality. So tu here is translated by thinking. Thinking is okay, but it's not really, really correct. The word tu, we have to translate by setana. The Sanskrit term setana means the expectation. If you want to translate, tu here is expectation. And tướng means perception. So tư tư is expectation. Is the third nutriment. You always think about that. You always long for that. Aspire for that. And in there is a word tương tư mean like lovesick. Lovesick. And so because you are pulled, you are attracted. You always think of him or of her day and night. That is the tương tư disease. It means lovesick disease. He is in the source of Tương River. I am at the end of the Tương River, but we think of each other day and night. And two sides, they try to take the water of the Tương River. And both of them make tea from the river, of that river. And they stay in two sides of the river. But two sides try to drink the water. And I'm wondering if it's filtered. If you take the water like that, is, I don't know if there is chemical or it has been filtered. It's a humor of Thai, of course. So tương tư, it means your expectation, and then you have a perception about that. And so with sensual love, perception is always more wrong than normal. Because if you are more peaceful and calm, try to look in the other side, you are more clear in your perception, and your perception could be closer to the reality. But if attracted by sensual love, and then you are distorted. Your perception is really that distorted. So if you have love sick, you look at the moon, you only see her or him. You look at the tree, you look at the everything you remember of her or of him. So our expectation and our perception could be embellished by the color of sensual love, and we ourselves hide the truth and cannot see it. First, we cannot do anything. First, you cannot hear any Dharma talk. You cannot read any good book.
your mind is only with her or with him. When you read the sutra carefully, look deeper, and you see that this sutra is very profound. The mind of sensual love is like a stream of water. They are not a solid, immobile block, but they are a stream of water following the flow of habit energy and pride. When you hear the story of Trung Chi, Trung Chi is a musician who stayed in the and fell in love with a beautiful princess, but he cannot obtain that love, of course. And when he died, and his heart will become a block of stone. And so because that sensual love of this man is a block of rock, and so it's not a flowing stream of water. So, following the flow of habit energy and pride and ego or something like that. Why the sensual love have that arrogance and that energy, negative habit energy? They ask. They is wondering. So, habit energy is something very profound, very deep, and you carry with you. Some are good energy, but some of habit energy is very negative. You don't like it. You don't like it. You feel that it's bad habit energy, but you have been transmitted by previous generation. We don't know, not your parents, but it could be previous generation of your ancestor. And you don't want that, but it's come back. You don't want that negative habit, but you have that genes of habit energy of your ancestor, and it's manifest against your will. First of all, in our being, there is the need to become the father, to become a husband, to become a wife, to become a mother, and the need of sensual love. They have that root when we are born. We have that tendency to be a mother, to be a wife, and to be a father, to be a lover, a husband. And also, many habit energy of our ancestor is in you. And then there are a number of us who have heavy habit energy of sensual love. There is less. Even you don't want it, but they are in you. You are one species on earth. That habit energy of sensual love is normal to everyone. But there are those who are very strong, there are those who are less. To have less of this habit of sensual love, there is one sister wrote to Thay and telling clearly, I have the habit. I want people to be attached to me. I have a funny, deep desire that people must be attached to me. I know that is not good, but I have that joy. Everything I see somebody attached to me, I really enjoy to see people attached to me, and I know that is not good. I don't want that. But still, it's happened in me, and I know that I have learned from many other experiences when they attach to me, they sticky to me, I suffer. And they suffer too. I don't want that. But first attachment I enjoy right away. That is, I don't know how to do it. And I ask advice from Thay. He said that what he said is not only from a sister, it could be some brother too. In the past, we have a sister. When she was young, less than 20 years old, was very happy in her practice. It's no problem about attachment, love. She was very clear in mind and really wished to be able to be a good sister, good nun. But after 20 years old, maybe it's maturity of sex in her, I don't know, and the development of some habit, and then she suddenly changed, slowly changed, and she had the tendency to enjoy, to be attracted. That man attracted to her, that layman, that monk attracted to her. And finally, we have to send her back home, because we see that habit energy is so obvious. And she enjoys that, but she do not really care. And we suffer a lot to send her home, but we cannot keep, because it causes a lot of trouble for her, for other people. They only want that. Sometimes she doesn't want, but that habit energy is so strong that she cannot resist. That is correct for a nun, but it could be correct for a monk too. So when we see such a person, you must have compassion to that person. We do not have anger to her. We decide to send her home, not because we are angry at her, but we know that she cannot resist. Several times she cannot resist to do that, and it's caused damage to the Sangha. So we have to send her home. It's also we have to send one monk home too, because of that too. We have seen that he tried, but it doesn't work. And then finally he has to go home. So Thay said that the vow, the wish to become a monk and nun is everyone. But this depends also from the merit, from your previous life, your ancestor and yourself. And even because you don't have separate self. And so in your ancestor there is also partly of yourself and so on. So it depends on the good merit of the ancestor that the monk can go on long in his path, nun can go long in his path. So we need to be attentive to ourselves and to others in order to support each other in Sangha. We really want to become a monk, we really want to become a nun, and we want him to help me, her to help me, and we want her not to be attached. Like in the new year, lunar new year, in our tradition in Plum Village, we have a ceremony that the monk have to look deep into the other side. The monk see on the nun like this manifestation of Avalokiteshvara, and we touch the earth deeply to try to see in each nun Avalokiteshvara, and do not try to let her to be attached to us. And it's the same for the nun. to bow deeply to the monk and to see that each monk is the manifestation of a bodhisattva manjushri, so that we have to keep him to be a beautiful manjushri, but not to let him to be attached to us. So that is that practice we have done at Lunar New Year. We have to do all the day, all the long year, but not only at that moment. So when is some negative habit in us arise, you say that, okay, we have to consider her like a manifestation of Avalokiteshvara, a manifestation of Manjushri. So the flow, the flow of habit energy and pride. And then when that habit energy arises, and then you see that, oh, yeah, I have some beauty. I have some pride that I am different from others, and so he is more attached to me than to others. So that pride, that ego, is linked to that habit energy of sensual desire. Sometimes you have so complex that you are not beautiful, you are not talented, and you are suffering. And then there's somebody show attraction, feel attracted to us, and then that pride arises. So there is some person who have that complex of inferiority. Maybe she is not deserved, or he is not deserved to be so inferior, but she have that complex, she believe. And when you have that complex, and you are easily carried away by that habit energy of attraction. So when you try to attract that person, and then you have the impression that, oh, now you have some value because you can attract her and you can impress her, and so you have some value, you can impress him, you have some value, you can attract him, you have some value. That is come from your complex of inferiority, not about your talent, about your beauty. Tainang is talent and Shakdev is beauty. So you have the complex that you don't have enough beauty, not enough talent, and that is why you are easily attracted. And so the complex of inferiority is not good, the complex of superiority of not good. But the complex of equality is not good either, because you feel that you are equal like the other. No, you are not less good than him, not less good than him. So that complex, it means because complex of equality is not good because you still feel that you have a separate self. And you use that self to compare to be higher or lower or equal. The sensual love is also the problem of habit energy, and also the problem of ego, of pride, of complex inferiority, superiority, equality. So in this sentence is very profound, and it's make some embellish by our sensual desire. And so we have to look deeper in our Sangha. There is many beautiful nun and many beautiful monk. And then there is one sister and told the story to Thay. There is one brother came to me. One sister reported Thay. One brother came to me, and he told me that he is growing, he is over 30 years old, and he have to think of his future. he has to be deserve to be a good monk. I must take a real clear direction in my life as a good monk. And I want to ask my advice, my admitted sister. Do you have any idea about my future? Of course. Maybe he asks advice from Thai and from other brothers, but maybe this sister is so beautiful and so lovely and want to want the sister to be special, to feel special. And so, and the sister answered, yeah, I will try to look deeply and I will tell you later. Because the big brother said that, what do you want to me to prepare for my future, for my career? You are the trust person that I trust the most. And the sister report on today. How I can answer? I want to tell what I teach. My contribution is like that. That what I wish the most, I think that is most necessary, most important for you, is you have to uproot the sensual love in you. But I wish that you can uproot to the very deep part of your sensual love. And in our Sangha, there is one sister is like that. She told Thay the story and she said that she will write to him. She didn't learn that sutra. She has not learned that sutra yet. But she behaved in a very beautiful way. She said that, Thay, I intend to write to him. And said that you have to uproot deep your sensual love. And if you have such a person, a monk or nun who see that, you have to be very happy to have in our Sangha. There are people like that. But this person who report to me, she do not learn that sutra yet. At that moment. The mind of sensual love is like a stream of water following the flow of habit energy and pride. Don't be a block of rock of love like Trungchi. Trungchi is the musician who fell in love with a person, beautiful, a princess, like, and then he died because of lovesick and his heart become a rock. And Thay said, don't be the frog. Let the rock like that. Everyone have sensual love, but we let it flow and then transform them. And don't let that sensual love become a block of rock like Trungchi. And so she is also very impressed that he asked her advice, and she really wants to look deeper, and she thinks that this is a better way for him is to uproot the sensual love in him, and then on the thirst to serve, to make life more beautiful, will go on very far. The seventh. yatas. We go back because now it's the 10th, but we go back to the 7th. Practitioners should not go in the direction of sensual love. We must start by finding a way to wholly uproot the tree of sensual love so its roots can no longer sprout. It is not like simply cutting reeds above ground. Practitioners should not go in the direction of sensual love. We must start by finding a way to wholly uproot. You should not associate yourself with the sensual love that is trying to translate to Chinese gathas. We have to wholly uproot the tree of sensual love. We could not only cut the branches, you have to uproot really. And the root could be complex. Inferiority, superiority, equality, and so on. Verse, Tien is verse. So that nun is very good. The first thing is you uproot that sensual love in you. When I hear like that, I'm so happy. And I'm so impressed by my student. And if all the nun can do like that, all the monk will be great monk. And the, if the monk can do like that, all of them will be great nun. Do you hear? So its roots can no longer sprout. So its roots can no longer sprout, cannot manifest. We don't behave like just cut on the surface and leave the root underneath of the surface and it will sprout again. So it's not like simply cutting the roots above the ground. The root would sprout it again. We have this whole text of 32 gathas translate into English all by Sister Pine directly from Vietnamese. So we have the text in popular Vietnamese, not Sino-Vietnamese. We continue to discuss, to have Dhamma discussion about that, so that in Blue Cliff or India Park, they can organize Dhamma discussion and report to me the fruit of the Dhamma discussion. I'd like to hear. Last time there is one person who report, a lay practitioner report that several years he worked in the nightclub as a musician in a nightclub bar where people listen to the music and they drink and they dance, that person have done several years in that nightclub, and he has an observation like this. At the beginning, people are very open, joyfully talk to each other, and more is go along at night, late at night. They don't pay attention to each other. They pay attention to only one person. And finally end up by sleeping with that person. Because music, wine, liquor, and food with water, the sensual love in them, there's a sensual desire in them. So at the beginning, it start by joyfully, like, but slowly more late at night, they only think of that. And then the day after when they wake up, and we look at the other person like a stranger. The person that will sleep to each other, to sleep is just a stranger. And then say, bye-bye, that's all. They totally forget that last night they behave like a two lover. The day after, they can say farewell like two strangers. And they go home. And he have seen that this only craving, this sensual love, this is sensual desire, but it's not really love. It's not love at all. And more is late at night, they look at each other like real true lover, embellished by wine and by liquor and by music and so on. And so every week they can come and they can do like that with that person and other person, and from that craving to other craving, and they destroy. And when they wake up to, in order to find the true, the path of true love. And then that is very beautiful. It's among the reporter I received that. And this other person report that during when she lived with her husband and two children, she has so many difficulties, but now she already feel divorced. She already divorced. And her love is more light, and her heart is more light, and she start to feel love to him. Because the love is no longer there, and then she feel that she love more. She love him more. She love the children more. It's strange. It's very new for me to learn that too, and it's confirm what we said that, yeah. So in Dhamma discussion, somebody report that when she start to live separately with her husband, but her love with her husband is more profound, and see the true value of him, and she care of her children more. And so among you, I'm sure that a number of you disagree with the Buddha, because you believe that sensual love is also beautiful, like, and so you must write a letter against the Buddha saying that, no, I disagree. You can do it. One hour, 22 minutes.